If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Pretoria Law in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, David Parker and Karina Bedour from Colliers International, and are my co-hosts. And David, could you give us a rundown on who our guests are today on the show?
Sure. We're Nate Copeland, Senior Vice President and CEO of InTech LLC, Curtis Minder, CEO of GroupSense, Jeff Weiss, Co-Chairman and Managing Director of Distributed Sun, and Mike Mitchell, President of Person-to-Person Quality.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Nate Copeland, Senior Vice President and CEO of InTech. Nate, what is InTech? What are you guys doing?
InTech's a federal contractor doing system engineering and program support in the intelligence community.
How large or how small is the organization?
$23 million, about 110 folks.
$23 million, 110 people. Huh. And where are you from originally?
I'm a native Washingtonian.
And how many brothers and sisters?
One older sister.
One older sister. All right.
How old were you when you started making money, Nate?
15.
And how long did you end up working? Where was it that you were working?
Maryland National Capital Parks and Planning Commission.
Yeah. And what were you doing?
I was then one of the assistant site directors, working with kids on a playground, keeping them off the streets, and giving them something to do during the day.
And how long did you end up working there?
3 summers.
Yeah. And what was the difference between when you started and ended up finishing up? What kinds of things did you learn? How were you different?
Well, I became the director by year 3, and I really learned.
Director, huh? That's unbelievable at that age.
Yeah, the kids thought I was a lot older. I was only 15, but it played well that they thought I was 21, which was good.
And how did that experience kind of fall into what you're doing today?
I really gave me a first look at people with problems and troubles and how to help them deal with some things and being open and listening to them.
Wait a minute. You were 15 years old, and you were 16 and then 17, and you're working at this facility, and you're listening to them? It sounds like you're counseling them?
Yeah, I guess you could couch it as that now.
Uh-huh. And you do that? You do that in your gig nowadays?
Yeah. Not in the job description, but yes.
Do you find it helpful that you're doing this in terms of building a team?
Absolutely, because I think folks feel comfortable approaching me and that they want to share whatever's going on.
So what I hear in the news or what I read in newspapers about CEOs and COOs being, you know, really rotten people and screaming and yelling and firing people, that's not who you are.
No.
You're the counselor.
Yeah.
You're really concerned about the culture of the organization, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
And it showed up when you were 15 years old, huh?
I guess so, yeah.
David?
You mentioned earlier examples of hard work with your parents holding down 2 jobs each. If you just talk about that real quickly.
Yeah, Mom was a Mackie vending change girl, so she had a change purse on and didn't have change makers in the machines back in those days. And she also worked for an insurance company downtown D.C. at the time. And Dad tossed tires by night at a tire company and also worked for the U.S. Tax Court during the day.
So they were both very busy, but your dad took the time to understand people. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Dad, as I think someone has said, Nate Sr. never met a stranger. So there was always people that would want to come up to him, and he'd always think that person is different than me, and I want to figure out why.
And how did that help you as a leader?
I watched his impact in people's lives, and I thought, I'm still trying to be that guy every day.
How do you know he had that influence on people?
This is the unfortunate proof was his funeral. And there's about 450 people at his funeral.
That's a large funeral, isn't it?
Yeah, we weren't expecting that crowd. But
what else weren't you expecting?
I wasn't expecting the broad band of people that were there, from the cafeteria worker to the guard to the senior court lawyers and judges, all there because they just really loved Nate Sr.
And how's that affected you and how you've built this business?
You can't have a business without the people, and I truly believe that at our company that we are truly, it's not more than a bumper sticker, that we're really focused on our humans. Lots of individual time spent, lots of shoe leather burned, a lot of gas burned up as I go around and visit and talk to our folks.
Didn't you tell us earlier that when you came to work for the company, you made sure that the CEO's profile is actually transparent on the web? You've actually published stuff about him and published stuff about his childhood because you wanted people to see that what kind of organization they were coming to work for?
Yeah, absolutely. I truly believe that if you're going to be a part of an organization feels like the person running it.
So it sounds to me like you've got a lot of respect for folks that are senior, starting with your dad. You had a lot of respect for your dad, especially that's proven with the funeral. It sounds to me like it also transfers to your relationship with your boss. But it's like you don't see yourself superior to everybody in the team. It's like you're counseling. You want everybody to feel part of the team.
Absolutely. I'm a participant leader.
Uh-huh. Karina, what are you thinking?
So 15 years old, counseling other probably 15 years old young folks. Obviously, your dad was really influential. Who else outside of family was really influential for you?
There was a very close friend of the family. His name was Greg. He was an Army major. And like Dad, he was a very people-focused guy. And he was really my first true taste, while Dad had been in the military. He was my first true taste of a military officer at the time.
So how was he influential in what you do today?
I reflect back on Greg sitting me down and talking to me about military leadership and marrying that with my dad's leadership, and that, you know, there's going to be many people that salute you as an officer, but you want them to salute you for the guy in the uniform, not what's on your shoulders.
So that's how that ties into today. You don't see yourself above everybody else. You're
correct,
really a partner in leadership.
Yeah.
Huh. Tell us about faith. You've got a lot of respect in your blood, and I'm wondering if that came from being faith-based.
It clearly does and did. My folks weren't, they were God-fearing. They weren't necessarily practicing Christians. But later in life, I definitely made that decision, and still today.
You made what decision?
To accept faith as a primary driver for my life.
Give us an example of how you've done that. What do you mean? What's your involvement with the church?
Well, right now I'm very active in the music ministry in the church, and I've actually spun off my own music ministry as well.
Why a music ministry? What's that tell us about you?
While I wasn't a sports guy, I've always been a band geek. I then started singing right after my father passed away, and I've been singing ever since.
Uh-huh. And so what have you learned from the church and being a band geek? Does anything to do with building this organization, which is now 110 people and $23 million, where this paper says that you're the chief operating officer?
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn at the church and the band that helped you build this business?
Well, I think, and actually Wynton Marsalis, trumpet player, has done some leadership work around this about the reliance on the group, right? So if you're a jazz musician, you can't stand up with a trumpet, which I played in high school, and wow the crowd. You need the quartet. You need the band. You need the support. You need to be able to work together as a team, and everyone needs to appreciate and give space to everybody on the team.
Huh. So that's what the chief operating officer is all about. It's like being in the middle of it all and making sure that the team's there. It sounds like there's a pretty deep parallel between your band stuff and what you're doing in your business or in your professional career.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes, I do believe. Uh-huh. I really think that I'm, you know, other than the business aspects of things, of course, to engage our employees and ensure that they're bonded to us as an institution.
Yeah, that sounds like what your role was on the band too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it was. Uh-huh. Drum major in high school. And
uh-huh. What was your role on the team back then as a drum major in high school?
Lead the band.
Uh-huh.
March them down the field.
Uh-huh. It sounds to me like you had the same role then that you've got now, and also the same thing you were doing working when you were 15. David, Mr. Parker, what are you thinking?
No, I've really been listening to you before. I had written down this passion for music. When leading the people, what kind of things have you learned as the band leader, the orchestra? How has that specifically helped you in taking your company as far as you have?
I think it's focus on individual strengths, and I actually call it tagging up, and it's getting their aspirations and their goals, and not necessarily just mine, and then how can I apply them to our whatever we're after. So either we're after performing this piece of music, how can I use the drummer's specialties there, or in our organization, how can I use the extrovert in the right place, how can I use the introvert in the right place, and not push them to places they don't necessarily want to go.
It makes complete sense to me.
So you're telling me that you're getting to know, on one hand, there's the organization, there's the goal for the team, but you're getting to know each of the individual players and what their strengths are and using everybody for their strength. You did that in the band, and you're also doing that in the business?
Yeah, I try to. I think we focus in business in general too much on our weaknesses and try to fill our weaknesses. They are what they are, but I think we don't take enough advantage of our strengths.
So, but that's where your deep feel and understanding of people really comes into play, because that's, in fact, you know, that's, we were talking earlier about your being the counselor. The fact that you really get to know these individual people, so you're able to use everybody wisely for their strength. I guess they feel fulfilled also because they're doing a good job, because it's their passion what they're being used for.
I think so too. I think if people feel that they're truly a part of something big and appreciate it, bigger than themselves, everybody wants to do that. I think they feel valued, and we never let them forget it.
Sounds to me like you're a master in the study of human nature. What's the website address for this InTech?
InTechLLC.net.
Let me have that one more time.
InTechLLC.net.
We've been speaking with Nate Copeland, Senior Vice President and CEO of InTech, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host David Kunzman, Pretori Lowe, Dave Parker, and Karina Bedour. Colliers International will be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves, because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Curtis Minder, who is the, is that correct?
Yes.
Good. Curtis Minder, CEO of GroupSense. Curtis, what is GroupSense?
GroupSense is a cyber intelligence company in Arlington, Virginia.
That sounds pretty sophisticated. And how large or how small is this organization?
We're about 30 people, a few million in revenue.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
Grew up in central Illinois.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I have one younger sister.
One younger sister. Mr. Parker, your turn.
Curtis, what was the first job that you had you could remember as a kid?
I was 12, and I went to work for the Apple Barn, which is an apple orchard.
And what were you doing there?
Picking apples.
What did you do after you finished with the Apple Barn?
I got a worker's permit and started working at Dairy Queen.
And when you worked at Apple Barn, what did you do different than all the other kids?
I was the one to climb the tree typically, which is a little dangerous. You get stung a lot by bees.
Was that your idea, or did they force you to do that?
Nobody else was doing it, so one of us had to get up there to get the apples.
So you did that, and then what was the question about you?
What was the common thing? What was the common thing between your second job at the fast food and the Apple Barn?
You had to hustle. You know, at the fast food restaurant, I was by far the youngest person there, so it was a little intimidating. So I had to overcompensate.
So hustling, working hard, yep. from an early age, you had that. What happened next?
I did fast food a couple more times, but when I was 16, I got my first job in an early internet company.
Mm-hmm. You got a job at an internet company. And what did you start doing when you started that internet company?
I came on as a technical support person.
Really? And what happened?
So I worked my way up by working the weekends. I stayed after and worked with the administrator quite a bit on side projects and became the assistant systems administrator within a year.
So you're 17 years old, and you're the assistant systems administrator. And you mentioned how large was that company?
I imagine they were around between 40 and 50 people.
And didn't you mention that you had a group reporting to you at the age of 17, even though you had started at the age of 16?
Yeah.
How many people?
I want to think it's around 12.
Uh-huh, around 12 people. That's interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Well, you're 17 and you've got people much older than you reporting to you. How do you get them in line? How do you manage them?
it was never really an issue. Mostly people just did what we needed.
Did you try and set a particular example?
I definitely, was a doer as well, so I was working by example. I was able to lead by example.
And you're self-taught in IT?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So you're self-taught in IT, and in a year you would advance to running the department. And one of the reasons you don't tend to have problems with folks is because it sounds to me like you lay the tracks. You're an anticipator.
Yeah, and a doer. So I'm practiced in what my staff are doing as well.
Karina, what are you thinking?
17 years old, early internet company. Talk to me about what early on in your life really inspired you to pursue that kind of work.
My dad worked for Pillsbury. He was working in a flour mill, lifting very heavy sacks of flour from one conveyor belt to another. And my mom worked for the state of Illinois as an accountant. And when I was very young, I'd visit both of their workplaces, and my dad's was a pretty terrible environment to be. It wasn't climate controlled. It was very manual work. My mom worked hard also, but it was in an office, and she had a calculator and a cup of coffee in her hand. And
all right,
so it's pretty clear which one was a better environment.
So you hustled your way into IT.
Yeah.
How'd you hustle your way into your first suit?
my mom actually found the ad for the internet technical support role, encouraged me to apply for it, helped me with the resume, but she also took me suit shopping. She took me to the mall. We went to JW, which is the trendy suit shop. I don't know if you remember JW, but and helped me pick out my first couple suits.
How young were you when you got your first suit?
15 or 16-ish.
And your mom took you to get that suit?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is your mom aware of your success nowadays?
Yeah, she is.
Has your mother been to your office?
Ironically, she visited yesterday, actually.
Uh-huh. How do you think she felt, considering she bought you your first suit?
I'm sure she's pretty excited.
Come on.
I'm not working in a flour mill.
How do you think she feels, though?
Yeah, I'm sure she's proud.
You think she was surprised? Did she surprised?
Yeah. She liked to meet my team as well. It was really nice. Yeah.
Your mom met your team?
Yeah.
So how'd you introduce your mom? You said, hi, everybody. You might meet my mom?
Yeah, basically. My father was there as well, and they sat in the office and talked to the team for a while.
Oh, well, why'd you do that? Isn't that disruptive to the business, introducing your parents to your team?
It actually wasn't intentional. I brought them after hours, but my team was working late, and they were surprised.
What was the effect of that, your parents meeting your team and your team meeting your parents?
You know, I think they appreciated the types of folks that work on our staff. They identified with them, and vice versa.
What did your parents tell you later on after everybody left?
Oh, they were very complimentary of the team.
What did your team tell you about your parents?
The one sort of gratuitous comment was that they reminded them of their parents as well. So
you're somewhat normal. Who's got the next question here?
Who besides your mom and dad had an impact on you?
A lot of people. I remember a pivotal influence was a gentleman named Randy Maxey. He worked for the radiology lab at the hospital in Springfield, Illinois. He was the father of a friend of mine in high school, and he would bring home projects, electronics projects from the hospital, and work on them on his kitchen table. And I would sit there with him in the evenings and help him program circuit boards.
What kind of effect did that have on you?
I think witnessing Randy's capability, you know, he didn't have all the fancy machines. He had a small Toshiba libretto and some wires, and he was able to fix these very expensive circuit boards for radiology machines.
So what's that mean? How's that translate to what you're doing nowadays?
Ultimately, if you put your mind to it and you work hard at it, I think you can accomplish virtually anything.
Huh? How about that? So you're resourceful, and you think whatever you put your mind to, you can do.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Next question. Who's got it?
You're a teenager, and you're going to school full time and working really hard and managing people at the internet company. You're not like goofing off like the typical teenager, but you're very self-motivated. Where do you get that from?
My entire family is sort of self-made, and we didn't have a lot of money, but my parents worked extra hard to. We lived in a middle-class neighborhood, but I don't think we had middle-class income. So they put us through the first few years. They put us through private school, which is very expensive. And so I try to respect that and make the most of it.
Respect what? What are you talking about?
How much my parents invested in us when I was young.
What do you mean?
Working in a flour mill, 12 hours shifts is grueling, and ultimately working those extra hours, those extra shifts.
Why do you remember that your mother bought you your first suit? Did she give you the money, or did she lend you the money?
No, she paid for it.
But you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What do you remember about that?
I knew virtually nothing about suits, so she had to teach me everything. I didn't know what.
Well, considering what. She sacrificed, it sounds like. Yeah. You know, she could have sent you out wearing your normal clothes, but she wanted you dressed up.
Yeah, well, she wanted me to get the job, and she pushed me in a lot of other ways as well.
What's the website address for this organization?
It's groupsense.io.
Let me have that one more time.
It's groupsense.io.
We've been speaking with Curtis Minder, CEO of GroupSense, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host David Kunzman from Pretoria Law and Dave Parker and Karina Bedour from Colliers International. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, that's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Good. Biz Talk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the Biz Talk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, Biz Talk Radio. Alexa, open Biz Talk Market Tips.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Jeff Weiss, co-chairman and managing director of an organization known as Distributed Sun. Jeff, what is Distributed Sun? What are you guys doing?
We develop, own, and operate solar plants around the country.
How large or how small is this organization in terms of revenue or dollars deployed?
We've built $250 million of solar plants, and we operate in 11 states.
Wow. That's pretty substantial, $250 million in 11 states. Where you from originally?
I was born in Washington, D.C., seventh generation, and moved to New York and then to Chicago.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
I have two younger sisters.
And tell us about what makes your sisters special.
Well, they're very special. So one sister is 3 years younger, and she and I are very, very close and spend a lot of time together. My youngest sister, I'm also close to, Jill, is 9 years younger, and she has Down syndrome.
She has Down syndrome. Tell us a little bit about your life with your younger sister and how that affected you.
Well, having a sister with disabilities affects everything you do in the family.
What do you mean?
And Jill, to this day, doesn't speak. She's a wonderful person. She's a happy person, but she didn't learn to speak, and her ability to interact is very modest.
Uh-huh.
And that was true the whole time growing up.
Karina, didn't you have a question about a sister?
Yeah, you talked moving to other cities when you were young, bringing friends home from school, sort of navigating the waters with introducing them to your sister. How does that influence how you kind of manage your teams and your business now?
Well, one of the things I guess I learned with a disabled sister was watching other people with her and watching how they reacted to her. So I learned personally to look at people and how they react and think about them. People have to accept.
And what about managing their reactions?
Well, I learned about them as people. And one of the things I learned is you can't change people, but you have to understand them where they are.
Yeah.
What's that have to do with building a business, though?
Well, building businesses is all about teams. Building businesses is all about selling. Building businesses is all about interacting in the marketplace. And there are always people who are buying whatever you're selling, and you can't change their personality. So it's important to understand what's important to them and sell it to them and communicate in their way.
David?
Yeah, Jeff, what kind of jobs did you have as a kid?
As a teenager, I worked in a camera store in Highland Park, Illinois.
What was the best part of it? Was it fun?
It was a lot of fun. So my job was organizing the film that had been processed and just giving it to the customers, selling to the customers when they walked in the store. The fun part for me after a while was I got to be a camera salesman. So I had the opportunity to sell Nikons, Canons, Pentaxes to folks who were coming in, usually as gifts. And what was fun for me was to both sell to them that which was interest to them, but I made it interesting by deciding what brand I was going to sell that day, because I decided that they were all similar, and I would sell what was interesting to me that day.
Yeah,
and that was a lot of fun.
You mentioned something that caught my attention earlier, and it was I asked about whether the fun was the money or the fun was seeing people walk out with something that they could use and be happy. Could you talk a little more about that?
It had absolutely nothing to do with money. I was being paid an hourly rate whether I sat in the corner or sold the camera, so it literally had nothing to do with money. It was about making it interesting, and I like making the people happy when they walked out.
Is there anything about that kind of creation of happiness and going forth and being able to use something to make it better with your business as an entrepreneur and helping companies get better?
Well, helping companies get better is all about succeeding in the marketplace. So a story from the time that I was in the online photography business in the 1990s, I put the business of photography online with Picture Network International. And early on, I had the opportunity to sell to two customers back to back. One was the photo editor of Time Magazine, and I went and met with her, showed her my whole pitch, showed her how she could get photographs for Time Magazine online, and she ended that, and she says, "Jeff, that's just great," but she says, "Please tell me how your pictures are going to get from that computer into my slide carousel." And I walked out into 6th Avenue in New York, and I knew she was not going to be an early adopter, and she was not going to be buying online digital photography. At the same time, I went to Encyclopedia Britannica in Chicago and sold to a man with the same position there. He listened to the whole conversation, and he said, "You know, I have no idea if anyone would use this, but we should give it a try. It looks cool." The only problem was he didn't have a computer. So he said, "How much do those things cost?" "About $4,000. And he said, "Well, I'll buy a computer." He said, and I said, "If you buy the computer, I'll buy the modem, which costs $400.
So it sounds to me like you feel very natural walking in as a sales environment, having that conversation. When you moved from D.C. to New York to Chicago, wasn't it difficult getting acclimated to the new groups of kids?
I miss the kids I moved from. I had lived there. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Highland Park as a new town. But I met kids fast. It was a really nice community.
Isn't that the same person?
I was in fifth grade.
Isn't that the same personality trait, though, as you just told the two stories where you spoke to those two potential clients? It sounds like you were pretty comfortable walking into those environments and establishing a relationship and developing a rapport. It sounds like it has a lot to do with the childhood stuff. Is there a connection there?
It could be. I love people. I like meeting people. I like understanding what interests them.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
You take the time to learn about people, to read them, and you also love sales. Tell us about what your parents did.
So my father was an investment banker. He was in the corporate development business, all about buying and selling companies. My mom is a homemaker, and was on the city council for a very long time. So she was a local politician.
And as a local politician, you're seeing the whole human parade interacting with them and dealing with their issues and needs.
My mom dealt with everything. You know, mm-hmm. There's every manner of personality and background dealing with a city council in a suburban town.
And you picked up those skills from your mom and also the sales skills from your dad?
Bit of a combination. Yeah, she can deal with anybody, mm-hmm. and she needed to be able to deal with anybody because that's what you have to do when you're a politician. Okay. And Dad mm-hmm. had to deal with people to close deals.
Who beside your mom and dad had an influence on you when you were a kid?
I guess my grandfather. My grandfather is a lawyer. I loved him a lot. He taught me a lot. I watched him work. He taught me how to play golf.
Was he close by? Did he live near you, or was he away?
He lived near me when we were in New York, and then in Chicago he was far away.
When you mentioned you watched him work, what are you talking about, and how that happened?
So he was a motion picture antitrust lawyer. It was a very interesting and very specific type of work. He actually created that line of work in the 1950s and spent the next couple of decades as the leader in that in that specific part of industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know a lot of his clients, who were people who owned theater chains and people in the motion picture business.
How young were you?
I was a kid.
You're telling me your grandfather brought his grandson, who was a kid, who's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, he brought you with?
He introduced me to his friends.
Why would he do that? He's an attorney. He's trying to pick up clients. He's trying to be a professional. You're just his grandson.
I was his grandson. He wanted to introduce me to his friends.
Uh-oh. So
he played cards with them. We had lunch together.
So you would shake their hands and you would talk to them?
Of course.
What'd you talk to them about and how they influence you?
Most people are very good at talking to young people. They ask them what's on their mind, and you tell them what's on your mind.
Uh-huh. So how'd these people influence you? I understand how your grandfather influenced you. How'd your grandfather's friends influence you?
They were my grandfather's friends, and I was very happy to meet them. And
so you're comfortable talking. You're just naturally comfortable talking to people. whether it's moving into a new neighborhood, whether it's potential clients. Karina, are you picking that up as well?
I am. How did that translate into now in adulthood? I mean, as a young kid talking to elders, basically, professionals, maybe on the golf course, playing cards, but now you're managing a variety of different people. You're interacting with engineers. You're in solar energy. Talk to me a little bit about how you manage all of those relationships from the experiences you learned then.
So if there's a strength to what I've done for 30 years, it's that I'm a history major.
Okay.
And as a history major, I don't have the technical skills, but every company I've started and every company I'm in, including the solar business, is successful because of technology. So I've determined over time that when the technology is at a point that I can both understand it and explain it and sell it, it's probably ready for prime time.
Right. So we were talking earlier about the transfer of enthusiasm is the definition of a sale, and you feel really passionate about that. When you were 15, you talked about selling cameras, and tell us some stories about times when you would set your mind as to what you were going to sell a particular customer that would come in the door.
Well,
maybe when customer comes in, you've got tons of options, and you're saying, you know what, I think I know what this person needs. You haven't even asked them.
Well, in the camera store, it was all about what they wanted to buy for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So you'd have the Pentaxes, you'd have the Nikons, you'd have the Canons.
Mm-hmm.
From a nominal point of view, they all had the same features. And for me, it was about determining how to sell one to make that person
right.
happy, but
the
to see if I could sell the one.
What's the website address for Distributed Sun?
www.distributedsun.com.
Distributedsun.com. We've been speaking with Jeff Weiss, co-chairman and managing director of Distributed Sun here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Yeah.
Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Joe Applebaum, who is the CEO of Potomac Companies. Joe, what are Potomac Companies? What are you guys doing?
Potomac Companies is an employee benefits practice that helps employers control the future cost of health care.
And where are you from originally?
Brooklyn, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
Younger sister, younger brother.
So you're the oldest of three, Lester.
Yeah, Joe, how young were you when you started making money?
Well, I started when my mother asked me to wash the windows in the house.
That was everybody's job. What was so special about that job?
Well, when we did projects, we got paid. So she said, I want you to wash all the windows. And I got paid $2 a window.
So you got a sense of what the demand was. How long were you involved in that business?
Well, after that event, at age 12, I decided to create a business and hire somebody at the same time at half my rate so that I could make more.
How long were you in that business for?
11 years.
Uh-huh. And you told us at one point you were making a couple $1,000s a week. So you really know how to make money, if I remember correctly. Tim, what questions you got?
So, you know, you're 16, 17 years old, making all the money in the world for a kid that age. How do you decide what you want to do next?
There was one option, but everyone in our family was expected to go to college. And when I wanted to start a band, my mother said, you can either be in a band or you can go to college. She offered me a pot of money to buy equipment. And since I couldn't sing or play like Billy Joel, I decided to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
What other businesses were you involved in as a child?
Well, I used to sell candy in the grade school to the principal, to the teachers, and anything I could do to make money.
Can you tell us about you working with your dad, too, at some kind of company that he was involved with?
Well, my father was a partner in a paper company, and I would go in with him sometimes on a weekend or when I was on break.
Yeah, what'd you do differently than the other kids whose parents brought them into work?
Well, I would help them audit the sales receipts and the commissions, and I found a $10,000 error. Unfortunately, the salesman didn't like that. Huh. He got dinged.
So you were helping save money back then for companies?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to know the correlation between blow pops, windows, and doing sales auditing relates back to the Potomac Companies today.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The original selling of candy and Blow Pops and Big Daddies was to make money. Washing windows was to make money. But keeping things clean, just like I help employers control the future cost of health care, it's all about simplicity and doing the right job for them so that they can do the right job for their staff and their clients.
Michael?
So you're making a couple thousand dollars a week in Brooklyn, which isn't as gentrified as it is now. Why go to college? Why not continue with the window washing?
Well, actually, we had moved to New Jersey at that time. But education was key to our family. And even though I went to an amazing university, I didn't get to stay there. I went to Carnegie Mellon, but got the worst case of mono in Pittsburgh's history. And after that, I just felt disjointed, and the dean asked me, or suggested I leave.
So, Joseph, were you in the hospital for that sickness?
Yeah, I had about 107.5 temperature for about 5 straight days.
And so anything about that time that perhaps influenced this idea of wanting to save health care for organizations?
Well, health care is driven by people, and it's not driven by anything else. And I learned very early on that being sick for that amount of time, I had no control over that. But everything else people have control of impacts the cost of health care.
Mm-hmm. John?
Joe, how did your wife affect your career?
Well, I had, when I moved down here in 1986, I was fortunate enough to have two wonderful boys, but there was also a calling, and I remarried to a Grecian goddess, and I believe that my wife has kept me straight, has influenced me greatly, and without her, I'm just not myself.
Who else influenced you as a child?
My father's work ethic influenced me greatly, and that's pretty much it. I did most of it on my own.
I have to ask about your mother because, you know, she offered $10,000, gave you the decision, and you said, and I would think that's a pretty big influencer to give you the independence to make those kind of decisions. Is there more to this?
I think my mother knew which side of the coin I would take.
Still a risk.
It is quite a risk, but and we have a very musical background, but there was no future for me. Mm-hmm. Laid out.
Right.
So you're running a business at a young age. You got all this stuff going on from a hobbies perspective. So I guess music or sports part of growing up too.
Like, oh, absolutely. I was number 26 on the high school tennis team out of 26. So I watched through the chain link fence.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
This drive to succeed. Where does it come from?
Yeah, I believe everybody has a pilot light inside them. It's just a question if you can self-fan it or not.
Yeah, who lit yours?
I think it was there when I was created.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Joe, when you were a kid, why did you want to make money?
Why not?
You trying to buy anything?
You know something? I didn't have to necessarily buy anything. We grew up in an upper middle class household, but I did have to convince my father once why I should get a Schwinn 10-speed instead of a 3-speed banana bike because I had to, of course, deliver the newspapers because I also did that. And I convinced them that the 10-speed Schwinn was more effective for doing my job.
But what is the website address for the Potomac Companies?
It's Potomac. Potomacco.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Potomacco.com.
We've been speaking with Joe Applebaum, CEO of Potomac Companies, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And I'd like to thank, Lester, can you give us a rundown of who we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Sure. We have Logan Sawyer, founder and CEO of QuickCore. We have Robert Sanchez, founder and CEO, SHR Consulting Group. Tim Evans, co-founder and chief of strategy at Lumen, and Joe Applebaum, CEO, Potomac Companies.
I would like to thank my co-host, John Yetman, Association for Enterprise. enterprise growth. Mike Rosnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting, Matthew Lesko, Lesko and Walderman, Ray Vasquez, Vertex 11, and Les Small and Vistage for giving me a hand. Structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we thank you for joining us today. Do have a nice day, and bye-bye. Okay, good.
All right.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.